Welcome back to the Bowery Capital Sales Podcast. I'm Evan McElwain, Bowery Capital's Director of Growth. And this week, we are joined by Oliver Williamson, Head of Sales of Circuit Hub, to talk about selling to engineers. Great to have you on the show, Oliver.
Thank you very much for having me.
So Oliver, tell us a little bit about you and Circuit Hub.
So a little bit about myself. I'm coming into the mid-30s now. So I've been in sales for probably about 15 years. And been in sales leadership for probably almost a decade. I started off primarily in financial services. I worked for a financial trading company as just a sales exec, worked my way up to sales manager, head of sales. After an acquisition of the company I worked for, got involved in startups. So I worked for a company called QuickUp, which is very similar to the US version of Postmates. And after spending some time there, I joined my present company, Circuit Hub, where I'm head of sales and is responsible for the growth of the business, the retention and the acquisition of revenue, basically. So, and to give you a high level overview of what Circuit Hub does. So we're on a mission to fix rapid electronics manufacturing. What we primarily do is we do printed circuit board assembly manufacturing. So that's quite a traditional and old school market. So circuit board is in pretty much anything electrical. So your smartwatch, your computer, circuit boards are everywhere in any given room. Historically, it's quite a long-winded process to get a circuit board made. So you design it in a CAD EDA tool, and then you download your designs. You have an Excel spreadsheet called a BOM, which is a bill of materials with the long list of the parts that go on the circuit board, perhaps some further documentation around how you would go about making the circuit board. And then you would engage with the contract manufacturer, send it across on an email, a lot of back and forth, and ultimately you'll get to a quotation and you'll go ahead and make the circuit board. And one of the founders of Circuit Hub has an electrical engineering background. And he was very frustrated with the process of getting circuit boards made. And so he thought that you could use software to improve that quotation process. So the early stages of the Circuit Hub were to put software around making that process easier. And how that business developed was building an instant quoting platform where you could upload the actual design files that you design a circuit board in, drag and drop them into our quoting tool, and it spits out an instant quotation. And over time, that has then developed into not just a quoting platform, but ultimately we're using software, technology, robotics to actually build a smart factory, which we've done, and we're able to really reduce the cost, increase the speed, and make the whole experience of ordering circuit boards much, much quicker. So yeah, that's primarily what we're doing. And it's been with the company about 3 years now, and it's going really well.
Great. That's fantastic. So before we dive in, one thing we always like to ask our guests is, what is one thing that no one on this podcast or no one listening to this podcast will know about you?
So I was thinking about this on the drive over today, and I was thinking, what could I say that's not too embarrassing? And then so I thought about a few things, and then I was like, oh, that's a bit too boring. So it was either boring or embarrassing. So I kind of thought, all right, I'm going to go with the embarrassing one. So it's kind of like, how did I end up in sales is my kind of way. Nobody I know knows how I got into it. And I thought, that could be my story today. So, so I started my career in JP Morgan doing a really boring administrative job. And after work, at that moment in time, I don't know what it was, but everyone was going on tanning beds, right? So after I finished my very boring job, I went on a tanning bed, and in the tanning salon had a radio program, and I was, you know, lying there getting a suntan. And they were saying, oh, do you do a boring job? And I was like, yeah, I've got a boring job. And do you want to do something a bit more interesting? Do you want to work in sales? And I was like, sounds interesting. And they were saying about, why don't you sell home insurance by cold calling? I was like, all right. And they were saying, oh, you can make lots of money doing it. So they were saying the phone number. And I remember remembering the phone number. And after I'd finished, managed to remember the phone phone number, called the number. I think it was a voicemail afterwards. But ultimately, a couple of weeks later, I was working selling home insurance. I think I've even told my wife that story. So
that's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, it was actually funny you mentioned the kind of hearing it on the radio. There still are adverts on the radio, believe it or not, for roles, you know, for like even sometimes very specific roles. All right. So let's, Oliver, let's kind of dive in here. And before we get too deep in the weeds, I wanted to start just kind of high level. What makes selling to engineers different from selling to anybody else at a company? And so I'd love to just start there, since that's the topic for today. You know, it's like, why is it important to even have a podcast about selling to engineers? How's it different?
So I think that the one thing I learned since I've been working with engineers and selling to engineers is, you know, every department within a company is very different. You have very different personas. But I think one thing I find consistent around like the engineering function is that they're very passionate about like what they do. And you could say that about a lot of different roles within a company. You can have a top sales rep, you can have a marketing leader that might be very passionate about what they do. But I think what you kind of go back to is the consistent thing with an engineer is it's quite common that from a very early age, they're kind of fascinated with technology, computers, and building things. And that's resonated with them throughout their whole lives rather than their whole career. And ultimately, that's led them to be curious about building things. And what you'll find is most engineers won't just be doing what they do professionally, but they might be doing it on a personal level as well. And so I think that that is a big differentiation between engineers and other roles out there. And so when thinking about engineers from that side of things, they're very curious about technology. And so if you've got a new piece of tech or new solution that's going to make their life a bit easier, they're usually quite open to hear about it. So that's one thing that like, I love about selling to engineers is their openness to learn about new technology. But there's some other big differences between engineers. Often they don't have a phone on their desk or will not really publicize their best contact method. That's a big challenge. And really there's a lot of adversity to just jumping on a quick call. Jumping on a quick call isn't something typically engineers will do regularly. And so that is quite different from when you're selling into, say, a marketing function or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good overview. And you spoke to some of the kind of pros and tailwinds of selling to engineers in that they're really curious and they're open to hearing about, you know, what's the latest and greatest technology. And then also some of the challenges, which we'll dive more into during the session today. Sometimes it's hard to figure out how to reach them, you know, because some of the traditional channels just don't work. Why don't we kind of just start kind of going through the sales process? And when you think about the very top of funnel prospecting, so when you're prospecting to reach out to engineers, they may not even tell you on LinkedIn if they're front end, back end, full stack. In your case, you know, you're dealing with engineers that are dealing with hardware. Where do you kind of start when you're trying to prospect and reach out to engineers, if that's your main kind of buyer persona, when you don't necessarily have all the information that you're used to having at the time of reaching out?
Yeah, I think it certainly comes with its challenges. So you can't just put in the exact, you know, the keywords that perhaps might populate a LinkedIn profile and then just find the people. You might have just someone that's working at might be doing exactly what you do, but they have their job title as engineer, no bio, no nothing. And that's the person you're selling to, and they don't give you any clues. The good thing about the engineering function is you have, from a community point of view, there's an abundance of communities online where these guys will live. So they will be communicating on various different platforms right across the web. You know, you've got GitHub, you've got Stack Overflow, there's Reddit, there's just tons of different places that engineers will leave some breadcrumbs on. And then you can like pull that back to your source of truth. So you could find someone on Reddit, for example, but still at that moment in time, there might be a username. You don't really know who that person is. So how do you tie that back to an engineer? But what you'll often find is that it's quite common that they will have a presence on LinkedIn, albeit they might not be active on LinkedIn, but they will, you know, you'll be able to identify who they are and where they work for. And if you can find like the different softwares that they might be using because they're engaging with within specific communities online, then you can usually tie that back to one source of truth, which will be LinkedIn. Or for example, GitHub, where you might have a bit more information around like their technical capacity, but also where they work. And right. So you have to be a bit of a detective, but a lot of breadcrumbs left all over the place. You can usually tie it back to, you know, who is this person? Where do they work? What software do they use? And what's the best way to engage with them?
Interesting. So you'll kind of start in the community side of things, figure out where is the niche, whether it's a thread or a subreddit or a particular place in GitHub where people are talking about the thing that your product is relevant to, and then work backwards from there to try to tie that to a specific company, to a specific person, a real person's name and profile, so you can go from there and contact them.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think you just have to go that extra layer, and you should usually be able to then adapt a more typical sales process.
Got it. And so then at that point, when you've identified who they are, you've done your research, how do you actually go about getting in touch with them? What are some strategies there? You already mentioned they often don't have a phone at their desk, and they're probably maybe a little bit adverse to hopping on a quick call. They may not be as active on LinkedIn. What are some strategies there?
So yeah, this is probably one of the things that keeps me up at night the most, is like, what is the best communication channel? And just like, as all of these other channels become more saturated, so email is becoming more saturated, phone calls, you know, less people are having phones on their desk, or if they do, it might be a mobile phone which is not connected to a company system. So, you know, in that keeps me up at night, whether or not I'm selling to engineers or I'm selling to any other function. The reality is I don't actually have any magic bullets around like special quick ways to get directly in front of engineers. The reality is engineers aren't that active on LinkedIn, but they still get their notifications in their email if they've received a message on there. So you're still getting into their inbox from that side of things. And the benefit is engineers aren't often being sold to on LinkedIn. So you're not competing with a lot of people in the inbox of LinkedIn. Now, that'll probably change over time and there'll become more difficult ways of connecting on LinkedIn. But we found that LinkedIn is actually a really good way to communicate with the people. That might be primarily because they're not giving a lot of information away on LinkedIn. Therefore, they might miss a lot of salespeople that don't do the research, which we've talked about before. And then the other way is email. Email can be done very well. It can be done very badly. Unfortunately, no magic bullets. Engineers have open to them the same communication channels as everyone else.
It's one of those things, right, where silver bullets rarely exist. And sometimes the harsh reality is, hey, you know, you've kind of got what you got. You've got to get creative using the tools at your disposal. So I think that totally makes sense. So when you think about using, whether it's LinkedIn or email, let's kind of focus on those as the primary two. And you think about selling to this specific kind of buyer persona, if you will, or this specific persona of engineers, are you changing your messaging? Are you changing your tone? Are you trying to be like less salesy and more quantitative? What's going through your head when you're kind of coming up with the actual copy and doing this outreach?
So I'd say that, well, salesy copy, I don't think works in any environment, right? So you like being like really overtly salesy is can be quite a turn off for any kind of persona that's buying. But in general, what we do is we just work with a lot of A/B testing. Like I've got hundreds and hundreds of different examples of templates that we've used, and then the personalization. So what it comes down to is using a good subject line, which is going to get someone to open an email. So don't make it too salesy, and good first line to encourage them to open it. And that is like consistent with any other type of persona. The best way to do that is make it personalized to them. And if you can find out more information about them, you're going to increase your email open rate. And so that just good personalization and get your message across in a clear, concise way with an easy to reply to call to action. I think that good sales practice is consistent when selling to engineers or selling into another function. So I think that it's just important just to be good at doing cold emailing if you're cold emailing.
Yep. And just sticking to those fundamentals. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And when you think about, you know, if you have taken this approach of starting in Reddit or Stack Overflow or GitHub, and you've already kind of done the research, it should make that personalization that much easier.
Absolutely. I think that if you think about a first line of emailing, you're referencing, I saw you here, I noticed this, that is going to grab someone's attention rather than some overtly salesy copy, which they already know it's a sales email before they even open it. So they're just not going to open it. Or they're opening it knowing they're going to be sold something. Whereas if it looks like this person spent some time to look at me, and they're going to be more curious to open it, and therefore they're going to engage with your email better.
Sure. And so let's kind of keep going down the sales process, if you will. So we've been talking about kind of prospecting, initial outreach, and some best practices there. You know, when you think about just the traditional tech salesperson, they may not have as technical of a background compared to the engineers that they're trying to sell into. Do you have any thoughts on how salespeople can position themselves as experts or kind of gain the respect of the engineers that are trying to sell to? I think this is something that non-technical product managers also kind of struggle with when working with engineers. Even if they don't have the same technical understanding that an engineer might, they're still coming across as, you know, respectable authority that the engineer is going to take seriously while they're discussing XYZ product.
When building out our sales team at CircuitHub, we've got a mix of salespeople that have an academic background in engineering or even a professional background in engineering, and salespeople that have absolutely no technical academic background or technical sales background. We're lucky that we've got a high performing sales team. I wouldn't say there's a big disparity between someone with an engineering background that is selling than someone without that engineering background. And when we go about training, and I think this is something that we kind of start with a hypothesis that someone just needs to learn what this engineer does, and that is going to really help them. Whereas I think that, like, we disproved that, because ultimately I think you don't need to know everything that the person that's buying from you knows, but more so you need to understand your product and the persona you're selling to. So for me, it really comes back down to, if you're selling a good product, you just need to know your product very well, and you need to know the type of person you're selling to and the pain points, and demonstrate how your product solves that pain point and be able to answer technical questions about your product. You have to know if your software is, how it's helping them, and you need to get that message across.
And so that kind of brings me to another question around how to effectively leverage sales engineers. When you think about bringing in somebody like a sales engineer who is going to be more technical than your traditional account executive, do you have any tips on just how to best do that? Obviously, it's going to depend on the type of product and their specific sales process. But I think that's one thing just sales reps in general sometimes wrestle with is, you know, when is the right time to loop in my sales engineer? Should it be really early on in the initial demo? Should it be kind of closer to when the decision's getting made and you're really trying to kind of move things across the finish line? Should you try to close the deal without using them at all? I would love to hear from your perspective.
So I'd say every organization is different in terms of, like, the resource they have available to them, especially when it comes to sales engineers. You might be sales engineer heavy, you might be sales engineer light, and therefore you have to spend that resource as much as you can and wherever you can. I think ultimately where a sales engineer can come into the sales process is really depending on the salesperson, and it's depending on the person you're selling to. So for example, if you've got a salesperson that's very good at engaging with someone, perhaps it might be weaker in more product specific areas, then it would be appropriate to bring that sales engineer into that conversation as soon as those technical questions come up. I think ultimately what happens is, like, the more you do that, you're going to upskill your sales exec to be able to perhaps answer those questions, and then they'll have less of a requirement to bring that sales engineer in until it gets to a point where it really does feel appropriate to bring them in and to have that engineer to engineer conversation.
Does that same dynamic extend throughout the sales process as you move up the chain?
I think it's a really hard one, because ultimately I think a lot of certainly senior salespeople will probably not want anyone to mess up their deal, right? So if you're having engineer to engineer conversation, you're probably having a really open dialogue. Whereas the higher up the chain you get, you need to like really penetrate and move this deal along the pipeline. And ultimately, if they think that a sales engineer is going to be able to help support them in that process, then I think it feels like it's an appropriate time to bring them in. But if they're very specific, like depending on like what the premise of that call is, if it's like you were saying, if you're moving up the chain and a lot of conversations have happened already, then maybe if you're at the CTO level and they're making a buying decision, perhaps they want to see at a high level how the technology works, but they don't necessarily know the intricate details. So I think at that moment in time, as long as your kind of internal champion is sold on the technology and perhaps has had that engineer to engineer conversation, you could probably get away with not doing it. But I still feel that there isn't a hard and fast rule in terms of when a sales engineer should or shouldn't be present. I think that if you've got a good salesperson, they should be able to make that judgment call based on the persona of the company and where they are in that deal stage.
Got it. And so one of the other things I wanted to ask is around kind of where are the pitfalls that you see people fall into, kind of common mistakes that you see people make when they're trying to sell, let's say, you know, SaaS products into engineering teams.
Earlier on, we were kind of talking about how engineers are naturally curious around new technologies and also the adversity to just hop on a call. And I don't want to like overly stereotype engineers to say, oh, engineers are introverts, salespeople are extroverts.
Right.
But in general, we kind of took our sales process down two routes when we started looking at selling, which was one, let's hop on a call. Two, do you want to be exposed to this technology that we offer and have a play around with it? Now, we would lose a lot of deals by just pushing for the call, and we have an incredibly high conversion rate to sell just saying, oh, would you like to check out our product and give them a demo. I'm trying to talk about this generally because I know not every single company that's selling to engineers has a product just like Circuit Hub, but how Circuit Hub works is you can log into our platform and have a play around with it. And if you're selling a lot of SaaS products, you offer a demo, or you can allow an engineer to demo it to themselves and have a play around with it and then follow up with them to answer any questions. And I think that pushing for a demo very early or hopping on a call very early in the sales journey can be a good way to have a lead go cold on you. And giving them access to your technology early on in the sales process and then playing around with it allows them to resonate with your product a bit better. And they're going to probably be more encouraged to communicate with you, to ask you questions about it.
Yeah, I love that. It really kind of goes with letting buyers buy the way that they want to buy and not kind of forcing your sales process on them on your own terms. Especially just thinking back to what you're saying earlier about what's unique about selling to engineers is that they are really curious and they do love trying out new technologies and they like kind of really getting their hands on something and getting to see it and use it for themselves. That's just such a good point. You know, if you do have a product that you can create, whether it's some kind of demo that people can actually use, or if it lends itself to a free trial, it's a really great way to get them to play around with it. And that's just going to lead to more questions and more curiosity and kind of naturally lead them into reaching out to you for more information versus you trying to kind of force it on them. So Oliver, one of the last things I wanted to ask you about as we continue working our way through the sales process, as you get towards the end, you know, who traditionally is making the purchasing decision when you're selling into engineers? I know this is probably a little bit of a tough question, just given every organization is a little bit different. Their buying process is going to be a little bit different. But for folks that are new to the world of selling engineers, kind of, can you help give us sort of the lay of the land when it comes to the decision-making process?
Yeah, I think that when it comes to software and that sort of thing that an engineer uses, they actually have quite a lot of autonomy from my experience in terms of making purchasing decisions. So it's not like a salesperson, you know, that they're going to, you give them Google Docs or Word or Apple numbers or pages or whatever. I mean, we'll take what we're given. Whereas, you know, all the way to your operating system, the software engineer is going to have a strong opinion. Therefore, they're going to have a lot of buying power and influence in their organization to what software they're going to use to do their job. So we kind of debated around this, and ultimately we were kind of been engineering led in our sales strategy. So we're engaging with engineers and getting them sold on the product and letting them champion our product up the chain. And that works well for us. So I'm not saying that's going to work for everyone, but what we certainly find is engineers have a lot of power in terms of the technology that they use to do their job. Like you mentioned, every company is different. You have to deal with purchasing, you have to deal with VPs, CTOs, right across the board. But as long as you've got your champion in there selling your product up the chain, then you should be in a strong position.
So that's a really interesting point, because depending on the product, depending on who you're selling to and kind of the organizational structure, it can really dictate what the best move is in terms of going bottoms up versus top down. So Oliver, we've covered a ton of ground here. We'd love to hear if there's any kind of final thoughts, tips, or tricks you want to leave folks with to summarize.
In terms of what I mentioned earlier on, is you don't necessarily overly want to stereotype an engineer to think that they're introverts and salespeople are extroverts and that's just the way it is. So ever since I've worked with engineers, what I'm more shocked about is that they're probably the most social function in any organization, perhaps not in a typical way. Perhaps they're not the ones that are going to all these conferences all the time, but they're collaborating with each other online, doing hackathons, all of these sorts of things. And they're an incredibly social community. And so what I would just encourage anyone that's kind of selling to engineers is be part of those communities, learn more about your audience there. And you're going to get a lot of clues with who is a suitable person to help champion your product.
That's a great note to end on, especially to your point earlier of the importance of the community, not only to find your prospects, to find, you know, who will this product resonate with, but then it also becomes a really important vehicle for word of mouth, you know, and if people are having a good experience with your product, as you said, they are social within those communities and will certainly tell people at other companies about how great your product is.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Oliver, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
I enjoyed it. Thank you very much for having me. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living.